Welcome back to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Jazz.
And then there were four. We've made it down to the East and Western Conference NBA Finals. Yesterday, the Boston Celtics doing some work. Jason Tatum, absolutely incredible. He drops a 50-plus spot on the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid and company go home, and now we get the Celtics Heat. We get the Lakers Nuggets. Should make for a very interesting conference finals. That's what we're going to talk about right now. Joining us as he does every Monday to break down the NBA, James Holas, always kind enough to chime in here on Drive Time Sports. James, great as always to get you on. Now that we have the Final Four set.
I wish I was more of a hockey or a soccer fan, so I didn't let basketball bother me this much. But there's something great and something horrible about being a fan of professional sports.
Yeah, it's the gift and the curse. And you and I were talking before we hopped on air during that last break, the idea that your team, the Boston Celtics, they like to play with their food. They've done that now a couple of times in this postseason. But look, let's give credit where credit is due. When the season is on the line, Jason Tatum was Jason Tatum. He was the guy that that we both expect him to be, right? He was a superstar that continues to get praise, and for good reason. He was absolutely incredible yesterday, and it was enough for Boston to rid Philadelphia of the postseason. And let's be honest, when you look at the Eastern Conference going into the semifinals, those were the two best teams remaining, and I believe that by far. Whoever comes out of this series would have been my easy pick to get to the NBA Finals. It's not as if Philadelphia was an easy squad to get by. There's some challenges there, and Boston took care of business the way they should.
Yeah, but again, it's like you set yourself up by saying, I'm only going to use my left hand to do things. So when it's harder because you made it harder. And that's my thing with Boston. I think they were pretty comfortably probably the most talented team in the East, and as far as the deepest team in the East. And, yeah, I didn't think it would be so hard. But six games with Atlanta, seven games with Philly, when one of those games was without Embiid and Embiid was hindered. Again, as a fan, you're happy that they advanced. You're happy that your guy responded after playing terrible for, three-quarters of a game. And then has a game seven where it turned into a laugher. That's what I mean about the duality of sports. We love it, but we hate it at the same time.
Yeah, and when I look at the NBA, there's a lot of commonality, right? When you talk about teams, either A, playing with their food, or B, players shining at the right time. I think Jason Tatum is a perfect example for this, okay? So when I'm talking about a team aspect, a team can jump out to a 20-point lead in the NBA, and you and I have had conversations about this all year. That lead's not safe. The NBA is a game of runs, and it flips in a hurry. The same notion, we'll take a look at Jason Tatum. He was 1 of 14 for the first 43 minutes of Game 6. Finished that game with four threes in the final minute, and then he closes out Philly with a 51 spot in Game 7. The NBA is just a different animal. And James, sometimes as I'm watching, I believe my mind sometimes is still set back in 2008, 2009, 2010 when we first started this show. It is a different game now. And I think we're seeing a lot of talented basketball all the way around. We're seeing the gap of talented teams being so top-heavy shrink a little bit, and we're seeing games of runs. And that's what this postseason has brought us.
You broke up a little bit there at the end. But, yeah, I think I get the gist of what you're saying. And, yeah, the proliferation of the three-point shot and just the speed and the skill of the players means that a 20-point lead is really like a 7- or 8-point lead.
Yep.
A lot of times, because one team hits three threes in a row, the other one misses a couple shots, and that 21-point lead is down to 12 before you know it. Throwing some free throws, and now that 12-point lead is an 8-point lead. So, and that's why I think a lot of us have a little bit of cognitive dissonance, because a guy that can beat is incredible. He's an incredible talent, but at the part of it, he's a big man who needs someone to get him the ball. He needs to have a perfect ecosystem of shooters and a point guard around him. And when a team like Boston can scheme to disrupt it with a lot of big bodies and length, he looks like he did in Game 7 where he went 5 for 18. And as great as he is, I mean, there's maybe one other guy, like a guy like Joker. Jokic could probably, give Boston a lot of problems. But when you're smart and you have shooters everywhere, almost any team is beatable.
We'll talk about two teams that aren't in the conference finals. We'll start with the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm not going to play fortune teller here, but James, for me, this seemed like it was James Harden's best chance to win an NBA championship. and they were ousted in the semifinals of the Eastern Conference. Didn't even get to the Eastern Conference Finals. It just seemed like everything was set up for Philly. If they could get past Boston, sure, right? But knowing that you have the most talented team left in round number two, to me it just seemed like the pieces were falling. This was his best chance to get over the hump, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. This is Philly's. Philly was a really good team this year. They have the MVP. They have a guy who is a certified Hall of Famer who showed you in game one of the series when he went for 45 and single-handedly destroyed Boston. Like, he is capable of that. But something, we know it's not about talent. It's not about what's on paper. It's about what's between the ears. And as much as I love James Harden's talent, we've seen time and time again when you get the lights get bright and they need a pristine performance for him, he won't come through. And I'm not saying he's a choker. I'm not saying he'll never will. I'm saying what we've seen so far. And winning in the NBA is really hard. I think Embiid's learning that now, too. Same thing with Embiid. He's the MVP. He's been in the league for 9 years now. He looked lost at the end of Game 6, and he looked lost in Game 7 just now. He didn't look – the fire was not burning in him to take that game, while a guy like Jason Tatum, he made it his own personal playground. Pressure busts pipes, and pressure makes superstars. And you know what? This might be a legacy, kind of like a deflection point for the Philadelphia 76ers and for Joel Embiid.
On the flip side, in the Western Conference, the defending champs get ousted in Game 6. And I will say, I was surprised at how easy Game 6 was for the Lakers. I mean, they jump out to a 27-10 lead, I believe is what it was. Golden State gets it down to like 5 or 6. But at no point in time in Game 6 did I ever feel like the Lakers were in any trouble. That did surprise me a little bit. I thought Game 6 would be a little bit more difficult, and I thought if Golden State gets this to 7, LA's in trouble, but it was relatively easy for them.
You know what? Father Time is undefeated, and we have this image of Golden State, and they have the framework. But Klay Thompson was clanking wide open threes. Draymond did not look quite effective. A guy like Wiggins was dealing with some injuries. Jordan Poole is no longer a super sub, right? So a snapshot in time, like a team can be what it is, but, you know, things are fluid. So the Warriors are still the Warriors, but they're older. Steph Curry couldn't take that game over. He was clanking, you know, makeable shots. He was not able to dominate the action. It's not the same as James Harden, but, like, these guys, they're in their 30s now.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And LeBron James, again, we just talked about the East and wings versus bigs. This is small guards and shooting versus a guy like LeBron James, a guy who could do everything on the court as a small forward / power forward who handles the ball. Ball handling wings are always, like, I think to me, are the premier of the NBA. And we saw another example of that. LeBron and the Davis defense was great, but LeBron was the engine. And, you know, those guys can do anything with him. The Warriors need to retool. They have a lot of questions this year. And LeBron James plus a capable number two shows how dangerous that the Lakers can be.
Again, our guest right now, James Holis, as we talk NBA playoffs. James, let's talk about the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. We'll start with the West. Denver has looked fantastic, and I thought they would move through Phoenix. I was surprised that series went 6, specifically after games 1 and 2. We don't have to beat a dead horse. You and I have talked about that. However, on the flip side, you look at the Lakers. I'm not surprised that they're in the Western Conference Finals because, for one, LeBron and AD are healthy, and they've never lost a playoff series when healthy. Right now, they retooled, and you know, we've gone into all that great detail. But as we sit here and we look at the East and West Finals, I think the Lakers have had the most difficult path to this point. They had to go through Minnesota. They were down 15 at halftime in the play-in round. They had to oust the number 2-seeded Grizzlies. They had to oust the NBA champions. You know I picked them to come out of the Western Conference, but in the same sense, man, this has been a difficult road, and now they get a Denver team that is playing top-notch.
Steel sharpens steel. So if you're saying, you know, they had a hard road to travel, and it's going to make the Lakers even better as the playoffs go on. At the other end of the spectrum, I think Denver, now after what we've seen in the first round, things are fluid. The way they dispatched Phoenix with those two superstars, Denver is just complete. They play together. It shows the value of continuity. They're comfortable together. They added just the right pieces and got like Bruce Brown. Jeff Green has been there, and you know, he really fits in what they do. Aaron Gordon's really grown into his role as kind of a connective tissue. So Denver, to me, I still put them maybe, you know, not head and shoulders above, but maybe I'm like half a head above the Lakers. The Lakers have shown that they, you know, they were a bad trade deadline away from missing the playoffs, and now they look rejuvenated. LeBron James has some service energy. We still can say Anthony Davis is trick or treat, because up until that last game, it had been literally every other game he'd be impactful, then he'd be bad. Impactful, bad. So let's see if he can break that streak. And their role players, can they outplay the high-level role players of Denver? That's what it's going to come down to. So I definitely agree that I'm very surprised the Lakers have made it this far. But they seem like they're getting better as the playoffs go on. But this is going to be their stiffest test. I think Denver is the team to beat in the West.
So when we break this down on paper, you look at matchups. I mean, obviously, Jokic and Anthony Davis, right? I almost think if you're the Lakers defensively, you almost have to play him straight up with AD. At times, this is the best defensive player in the NBA. Offensively, you got to pick and roll this guy to death. And then at that point, if that all works out, right, can the Lakers handle the backcourt and the wings of Denver? They've been able to do that in the first two rounds, be it with Golden State and Memphis, but they haven't gone up against a team that has a guy like Jokic who was just... this guy looks like the MVP of the league, hands down. Maybe that's what he needed, was to get quote-unquote snubbed of the MVP, which I don't think he was. But nonetheless, I mean, I think you almost have to play him straight up with AD.
I agree, and that's where the Lakers... I mean, it's kind of going to hinge on that. Can Anthony Davis at least contain Joker? Now, we know that he can. We saw that a couple years ago in the bubble. But we also saw Anthony Davis get dominated in the game by Xavier Tillman.
Mm-hmm.
That happened. So Anthony Davis has to be 100% Anthony Davis. He can't be 80%. He can't lose focus. He can't drift in and out of the game. If Anthony Davis is not bringing it every night for 38, 40 minutes, they're going to lose this series. And again, like you said, not only has to defend Joker one-on-one, at least try to limit him, he also has to make sure he attacks him at the other end as effective offensively. Because Michael Porter Jr. is 10. He's 6'10". He's not Klay Thompson. He's a young 6'10 who can his shot, you know, and he can attack the basket a little better than Klay. Jamal Murray, there's no way he's on the same level as Steph Curry. But as an individual one-on-one scorer, he can do a very good imitation of Steph Curry. And maybe it has shown to be in the last few years in the playoffs even more explosive at times, or at least on par. So that's no disrespect to Steph Curry. So... it's going to come down to the role players and how they hold up, because we know LeBron's going to bring it when he needs to. Anthony Davis has to come every night.
I picked L.A. coming out of the West at the beginning of the playoffs. I got to stick with it. Here's your chance right now. You're going to take Denver, it sounds like. You're leaning towards the Nuggets.
I'm picking Denver, and I'm going to go with, like, again, the continuity. I feel like they're kind of battle-tested. Not saying that LeBron and Anthony Davis aren't, but we also know, like, can Lonnie Walker show up when he needs to? Is Schroeder going to make boneheaded mistakes and be a hot-headed like he's been? That's where it comes down to, composure and role players. You can't leave possessions on the table. And that, you know, we know that Jokic is amazing at leveraging possessions, and so is LeBron James. It's going to be about the other guys.
James, let's move over to the Eastern Conference matchup, Miami at Boston. And look, this is a massive mismatch. I'm not taking anything away from the Heat. Like, I've been doubting this team since they got into the play-in round. This was a squad that was on the verge of not getting into the playoffs at all after dropping their first game of the play-in round. And they have just, they've blown by Milwaukee. They blow by the New York Knicks. This is a different beast. I know Milwaukee was uber talented. I also understand the issues that were going on with Milwaukee. That's not a knock on the Miami Heat at all. From the very beginning, I thought that Boston was a team to beat in the Eastern Conference. And when I look at this on paper, it is such a massive mismatch to me that the Celtics should handle this in five games.
Yeah, and I think people thought the same thing about the Bucks. But now, in hindsight, 2020, right? Giannis not being a shooter. And we look at things and say, okay, we should have seen... especially Giannis getting injured. So we know, again, winning in the NBA is hard. It takes a combination of skill, hard work, and luck. Right now, Miami's basically rolling on hard work and some luck. They caught teams when they're a little injured, and they snuck. Like, I'm pretty sure the Knicks weren't ready for that level of ferocity and physicality. I think that, you know, that good luck might run out this round. There was an old skit on SNL called the Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer, where a caveman was a lawyer. That's what it feels like when I'm watching Miami in the you know, conference finals right now. They shouldn't be there. They shouldn't have the tools or whatever, but they are. I think Boston's just too deep. I think they have the shooting to break that zone they're going to run, and I think they have the bodies to kind of throw at Jimmy Butler. And they're more disciplined defensively than the Knicks were. So I think this might be the end of the road for the Heat.
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at it on paper again, Boston front to back. To me, best team in the NBA, and I think Denver is right behind them. But that's different than looking at your 1-2 punches, right? Because right now, in the Western Conference, I take Anthony Davis, a healthy AD, and a healthy LeBron over the 1-2 punch from Denver. It's not a 1-2 punch, it's a team aspect. And I bring this up because Jimmy Butler has been worth, individually, 2 to 3 wins per series. That's not going to be the case in the Boston series. This is not possible.
It shouldn't be, but even if he gets 2, I think then it's a 6-game series. And then even then, I'd be disappointed in Boston. This should be a 5-game series. Should be on paper. Boston, again, nothing about on the court, the same way I was saying about Embiid. It's about what's between their ears. They've had these weird lapses in games where they just don't have the energy. They don't have the focus. And they if they do that against the Miami Heat, they only get one. You can't, you know, you can't give Jimmy Butler and those guys momentum. Can't give them life. We saw they just kind of throttled by the end of that Milwaukee series. Giannis was healthy, and they just had them. They were in their heads. They just mentally dominated them. It's a thing. We know sports is a fickle thing. So while everything is screaming, I just read on I saw ESPN has the Celtics with a 97% chance of winning that series, which almost kind of scares me more because that's more locker room fodder for the Miami Heat. But there's no fear in me for Miami. It's a healthy respect. The Celtics just have to handle their business and play the way they can.
You said ESPN has a 97% chance?
They have a 97% chance, and the Heat have a 3% chance of reaching the final.
I think that's too low. I just don't see it. This is the NBA where you got to win 4 games. And this is a Celtics team. Look, you know, here we are talking about Jason Tatum. We can talk about Jaylen Brown. We haven't even talked about Al Horford yet. I think we got to give this guy some due as well.
100%. I mean, by the end of that series, he was single-handedly locking up Embiid. And again, that's where mental fortitude comes in. I don't think they're going to break the spirit of anyone in Miami the way they broke Embiid's spirit. But that's, you know, luckily they don't have the talent. Like, Bam is a very good player. Bam is going to have a game of probably 25 and 15, at least one game. Let's hope they lose that game. Because he just, you know, again, you make him play in a crowd. You make him shoot over the top. He's not going to physically just beat you the way that Embiid did. There's no Harden out there. Miami's going to try to beat you with the death of 1,000 cuts, you know. A Gabe Vincent jumper, a couple jumpers late. Max Strus, a couple threes when they forced a couple turnovers. They're going to try to just grind you down. So, I'm fairly confident that the Celtics will be in the finals. I just want everybody to stay healthy.
He's James Hollis. Again, he's half of the Dunktales pod. He's kind enough to join us each week. He's rolling with Denver and Boston. I'm going to stick with it. Lakers-Celtics, I want this series so bad. We need this in the chapter of LeBron James's Laker history. I'm looking forward to it. I hope the Lakers can pull out 4 more wins. I'm going to stick with my original prediction. James, it is always a pleasure to get you on and go back and forth talking some NBA. Of course, you got to let the listeners know where they can find more of you.
On Twitter, at Snotty Drippin. It's an homage to the great Scottie Pippen, my favorite player growing up. And check out the Dunktales pods on all streaming platforms. Me and my buddy JP Talk Basketball, we're actually recording tonight. We'll make sure we give you guys a shout-out over there because you've all been rocking with us, and I appreciate you. And, hit me on Twitter, and we can talk basketball, and I'm always happy just to chop it up and be done.
James, always a pleasure. Look forward to doing it again real soon.
You are the man. And as much as I love you, buddy, I hope your team flames out.
I love it. Wouldn't expect anything else, James. We'll do it again real soon. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll come back for the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return.